It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Molly Stentz, in for Kate Archer-Kent. The report is called A Teacher Who Looks Like Me, examining racial diversity in Wisconsin's teacher workforce and the student-to-teacher pipeline. And its findings? Students who attend schools where they have access to teachers who reflect their own race and ethnic background are more likely to experience a variety of benefits. This can mean higher graduation rates, college enrollment, lower rates of suspension, and discipline referrals. But while student bodies across Wisconsin have grown more diverse, our teaching staff has not. With low graduation rates for students of color, who will be our teachers of tomorrow? Do you work in education? How did you get your start? That's what we're exploring this hour. We're at 1-800-642-1234. Ann Chapman is a former senior researcher at the Wisconsin Policy Forum, and she wrote the report. Good morning, Ann.
Good morning.
We're also joined by Shondalyn Hendricks, a certified associate diversity coach with a lifetime of professional experience in education. She's been a teacher, principal, administrator, worked in special ed, worked for DPI, taught graduate courses in education. Welcome, Sean.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
Thanks for joining us here. Well, Anne, let's start with you and this report. Why did you want to study the racial composition of our schools and the teacher workforce?
Well, we've been doing research for a number of years on, you know, education outcomes in Wisconsin. And as many people know, especially people in the education community, Wisconsin has some of the worst racial and ethnic achievement and opportunity gaps in the nation when it comes to third grade reading, eighth grade math, and kind of everything in between, graduation rates. And so we wanted to look at one of the factors that might affect that. And we looked at the fact that we have these achievement gaps. We've looked at the fact that students of color are growing as a percentage of our student population. And we learned that there's a lot of research on the effect of having a teacher from your same race or ethnic background in terms of the effect it has on student outcomes. And so if you think of, you know, a growing student population, students of color, and then you look at our teacher workforce in Wisconsin, and we saw that our teacher workforce is predominantly white, overwhelmingly white. Over 95% of our teachers are white, whereas about 30% of our students as of 2019 are students of color. So we have this wide and growing gap where students of color, in essence, don't have access to a teacher who looks like them. And that is a resource that could be helping them with a number of those educational outcomes that you mentioned. So we said, well, that's a policy question that we need to look into. What are the reasons for that, and what can be done about that? And that's what we undertook in a second report.
Sure. And I want to know how we know this connection. How does a diverse teacher workforce improve student outcomes? What do we know about this?
There's a number of mechanisms, and this sort of gets into the scholarly research on sort of why having a teacher who looks like you can affect your outcomes. And we don't get into a lot of depth there, but one of the main ways this works is called the role model effect. When students have access to a teacher who's from their same, and it's not necessarily because it's from their same race, but it's that these teachers have a life experience that kids can relate to and the teacher can relate to. And when you have a person in your life who is in that role, that educational role, that authority role, that can be helpful for kids to be able to see themselves in similar positions going forward. You know, they could see themselves as a teacher. They can see themselves going to college, graduating from college, becoming a scholar. And so that there's a role model effect. There's also the effect of a student when they have a teacher from their same background. There's evidence to suggest that, you know, teachers are biased. There can be discipline referrals that are, you know, biased in a way that is detrimental to students of color if they don't have a more diverse teacher workforce. There have been studies that show that teachers can grade students differently based on their race. And these are sort of implicit bias questions. You know, we don't know why teachers do that. It may be explicit, you know, bias, but it may just be unconscious. You know, we don't know. But there's a whole bunch of mechanisms that sort of show that this effect is there, that when there is sort of that race match between students and teachers, you sort of see improvements in, you know, student, you know, standardized test scores and graduation rates and even aspirations to go to college and college enrollment and sort of a number of outcomes.
And Sean, I want to ask you, with your lifetime of experience in education, why do we have these disparities?
You know, I was particularly impressed with Anne's research because she's right on point. It really begins in K-12 and the experiences that students of colors have. Many of them don't have good experience in K-12. And she's right on point in that it's very important for students of color to see adults of color in certain professional roles. Outside of that, when we look into some of our IAGs, it's difficult for some students of color to even navigate college. So, you know, they go in and they say they want to become a teacher or they want to be any sort of professional. And it's just difficult in that space because that space is not always welcoming to students of color. Then when we have teachers who do go into the field, many times they are, they're treated as if they're the person that should be able to take care of all students of color. And so they have this undue amount of stress, this undue amount of responsibility, and it results in some teachers of color leaving the field. In addition to that, for some teachers of color, they don't see a pipeline for them to move along into administration. So when we talk about diversifying the teacher pipeline, we have to consider all of those points that Anne brought out so magnificently in her research and really identify strategies for addressing that. And I do have some ideas on that, but that I invite everyone to read her work because I was just astounded at how she was able to even look at as early as high school and there being barriers starting there around what students need. And that's why it's so important for us to diversify that teacher pipeline so that immediately our students can see that education is a space that I belong in as a professional once I complete my degree.
And Sean, I want to hear your ideas, but I want to understand the problem first. I want to get a scope of what the barriers are. And what did you find in your research?
Okay, so I'm going to go back and just very briefly talk about the fact that there was a time where we had many teachers of color. Most Black students and students of color were taught by teachers of color, and this was before Brown versus the Board of Education. Once that decision was made, Black students were sent to majority white schools and the Black teachers were unemployed. So they had to find another job. As Black adults began to go into teaching, they faced barriers. They faced exams, culturally biased exams. And Wisconsin has done some work around removing some of those exams. They have found that it has been very difficult to be in a setting where they're many times the only student of color in college. That's very challenging. I've experienced that. And what we've seen that students who go to minority serving institutions such as the historical Black colleges tend to do better. And when we look at the data, we see that the majority of the teachers of color come from historical Black colleges because of what goes on in our mostly white serving institutions. For me, the big key was I was a teacher assistant, and there was a teacher, a white teacher that I worked under that encouraged me for about 4 years straight. She kept saying, "You should become a teacher. You're really good at this. You should become a teacher." So sometimes it takes anyone in the area to look at our paraprofessionals, look at our secretaries who have bachelor's degree and encourage them to go to school, as well as take advantage of many of the flexibilities here in Wisconsin around alternative educator programs, because that's what I went through. I didn't go through the traditional IHE program. I went through alternative education program that was set up to attract special education teachers of color.
We're speaking with Sean Hendricks, a diversity coach and former district administrator. Also, Ann Chapman, a former senior researcher at the Wisconsin Policy Forum. And taking your calls, 1-800-642-1234. I'm Molly Stentz, and this is The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Molly Stentz. We're talking this hour about the state's education achievement gap and our teaching staff. We're talking to Ann Chapman, who studied this issue for the Wisconsin Policy Forum. And we have Sean Hendricks, a diversity coach, who formerly worked for DPI, our state education agency. What does Wisconsin need to do to recruit more teachers of color? How'd you get your start in education? Give us a call, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org. And what's the typical career pathway for an educator in our state?
Typically, you know, the majority of teachers do pass through the traditional pathway, which is to get a bachelor's degree at a four-year institution of higher education, you know, do your student teaching degree, get your license, and then go get a job. But what Dr. Hendricks was talking about is an alternative path, which is set up in many ways to attract non-traditional students, many of whom are students of color, to become teachers of color. DPI calls this, you know, non-traditional or alternative. And these are programs that are not necessarily, they can be at institutions of higher education, but they can be at, you know, other types of organizations. And they're set up to, you know, target non-traditional students. So people going back to get a teaching degree that may already have a bachelor's degree in another area, or people like Dr. Hendricks was talking about, paraprofessionals and educational assistants that don't even have a bachelor's degree yet, but show a lot of potential and commitment to teaching and you know, already have relationships with the students and the communities where they work, and providing specific supports and, you know, financial supports as well as, you know, professional supports to help those teachers get their credentials and to help them, you know, persist in a long-term teaching career.
Sean, what do you think districts should be doing right now to encourage their staff?
So I think one of the things that districts can do is in their schools implement Educators Rising or Future Teachers of America clubs at high school and middle school and high school students can become a part of to kind of encourage them to go into the field of teaching. In addition to that, there are programs such as Leading Men's Fellows in Milwaukee where recent high school students, and particularly in this program, African-American students can enter into a pathway to become a teacher through a partnership with the technical college where they earn their associate degree while they're working in an early childhood program such as the ones at Milwaukee Public Schools or Next Door Foundation. The other thing is that districts can have a high school educator pathway, which is, you know, a specific set of courses that cohorts of students who want to become teachers can engage in and move along with each other, particularly teachers of color, because there's a lot of research that says college students of color perform better when they operate in a cohort model. They grow and they proceed through their educational path. The other thing that can happen is that districts can engage in dual credit courses, such as what's going on in Green Bay, where high school students starting in their junior and senior year are taking courses that account toward college and graduating with an associate degree. And so then you have students who are incurring a lower amount of debt toward earning their bachelor's degree, as well as, you know, the transition to, you know, an institution of higher education after high school is much easier if a student has been engaging in college courses at one of the universities or colleges.
You mentioned debt. How much of a factor is that for students determining what field they want to go into?
It's a huge factor. And so another thing that can happen, and this would have to happen more at the statewide level, is to have to expand our minority funding for students who want to become teachers. The governor just increased that pot of money where students of color who go to become teachers benefit from additional financial aid. Another thing that can happen when I was earning my teaching degree, I earned it where after serving 3 to 5 years, my debt was forgiven. That pot of money is no longer available. But as a state, we can say that we're serious about, you know, diversifying our teacher pipeline. So we're going to take this money and put it aside, and we're going to pay for students to earn their teacher's license and their bachelor's degree with the commitment that they will stay in a Wisconsin school for 3 to 5 years.
And how difficult is it for local districts to address these issues? Do you see them working on it?
Yes. Local districts, teacher prep programs, even various state efforts are underway to address this problem. Lots of really promising programs, you know, some of which, you know, Dr. Hendricks and I both mentioned, you know, these grow your own programs that target high school students and educational assistants. Loan forgiveness programs like what Dr. Hendricks is talking about and scholarships. Debt is an issue that is especially a deterrent for students of color. They tend to come out of undergrad with more debt than white students. So that's a huge deterrent. So to the extent that, you know, those programs can be in place, can be helpful. But what we found was that these efforts across the state are very limited in their impact. And the question is why and what can be done about it. And one thing we talked about that Dr. Hendricks alluded to earlier is that, you know, it needs to be sort of put out there and mentioned that, you know, what is sort of perpetuating barriers and what is limiting the impact of local efforts is kind of an undercurrent of racial bias in the institutions that are creating our teachers, our schools and our teacher prep programs and our school districts that employs teachers. When teachers feel like they're isolated, you know, the institution sort of has, you know, where the teacher is on their own, they get sort of hired by themselves as opposed to in cohorts. When there's a, you know, a system of racial bias in the hiring process, when the culture of the institution itself can make teachers feel isolated or even that they don't belong. These are sort of institutional and systemic issues that need to be addressed for the impact to be greater. And so what we came away with is that the state has a real opportunity and a role to both expand on some of the good efforts that are happening locally, but also add to and provide a role that only a state can provide in the sense of really requiring accountability or incentivizing accountability toward teacher diversity. And so we get into some of those policy options in our report as well. And targeting investments like Dr. Hendricks was talking about, you know, where the state can actually allocate money toward, you know, service scholarships and loan forgiveness is a big one. But there's other examples.
We're speaking with Ann Chapman, former senior researcher with the Wisconsin Policy Forum, and Sean Hendricks, a diversity coach and former district administrator. Want to go to the phones now and talk to John in Milwaukee. Good morning, John.
Oh, hi. Thanks. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. I told the screener I had a question, and then it's kind of actually a three-pronged question. First of all, what would be an example of the culturally sensitive thing? I couldn't remember if that's the exact term. Is that a good enough term?
Let's let our guest answer that before we run out of time with them. Sean?
I didn't hear the complete question. What's an example of culturally responsiveness?
Yes.
Okay, so I think part of culturally responsiveness is making sure that as our candidates are moving through their pathway from high school all the way through college, we acknowledge that there are certain barriers that are more focused on people of color. And so if we're talking about an alternative program, we have to realize that sometimes those candidates may already be parents, and they may need assistance with childcare or other supportive services. Also, in terms of when we talk about culturally responsive, when we're talking about the history of education, we have to come face to face with the fact that this is an issue that did not exist before, and we have to acknowledge why it existed and the mistake that we made with Brown versus Board of Education and go back and change history. And so when we're looking at saying that we want more teachers of color, then we need to recruit from the areas that have more teachers of color. And that's going to take some financing. That's going to take some funding and some intentionality. And if we can't find those teachers in the state of Wisconsin, we have to be open to traveling to minority serving institutions and recruiting those candidates while they're still in college at our HBCUs and see if we can have partnerships with the HBCUs and have those students of color come back to Milwaukee and complete their student teaching and all of their clinicals, and even so much as pay them as we currently do for our candidates of color who are participants of the Wisconsin Improvement Program.
Well, Sean Hendricks, we will have to leave it there. Thank you so much for joining us.
Absolutely.
Sean Hendricks, a diversity coach and former district administrator. Ann Chapman, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Ann Chapman, a former senior researcher at the Wisconsin Policy Forum. You can find a link to their report on our website, WPR.org/mornings. We'll continue this conversation after the news. This is The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Molly Stentz, and we're continuing our conversation on the state's teacher workforce, and we're zooming in on Milwaukee next. Milwaukee Public Schools has a student population that's 90% students of color. 90%. This in a city that's a third white. Even in Milwaukee, more than two-thirds of its teachers are white. What's going on? How can local school districts grow their own workforce of the future? How much control do local districts have in attracting talent? What can we all do to help all kids succeed in school? We're at 1-800-642-1234, ideas@WPR.org. Michael Harris is the Senior Director of Talent Management at Milwaukee Public Schools. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning.
And we have Jeremiah Jackson Jr., the director of the Black and Latino Male Achievement Program at MPS. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Glad you could both be here this morning. Well, Michael, let's start with you. How has Milwaukee Public Schools recruited teachers from diverse backgrounds?
Absolutely. Great question. There's a lot of work to be done. But what we do know is that we have to definitely look at our pool of employees within the district. And for us, we have a large, diverse pool of candidates in our support staff. And so I think for us as an institution here and one of the largest institutions in the state, we need to look at that and figure out how we can provide programs and supports to help those that are seeking to advance in their careers opportunities. And I think that is one way that we are leveraging the work here in Milwaukee. We're tapping into those paraprofessionals who are in the classrooms, learning from professional educators day in and day out. And so we want to make sure that we're providing them the support they need in order to achieve their goals.
And Jeremiah, how does your program fit in?
Yeah, so I mean, what we've been able to do is really focused on not just the recruitment, but I think also like the retention of the staff that we do have currently, and also just trying to see what we can do to help support like all teachers that are currently working in the district. You know, we realize that we have, you know, some great teachers that are doing some great things, and we just want to be able to provide some additional support, you know, to our current teaching staff, while partnering, you know, with talent management to try to see what we can do to try to create some opportunities for some more, you know, teachers of color to be able to enter into the district and be supported while they're there. You know, we've been able to provide some professional development to some specific schools and groups of staff members just to help them, you know, to try to become, you know, like a little bit more comfortable, like in the approaches and working with our students of color, you know, really trying to push this whole notion of it's not enough just to be not racist, but really like this anti-racist push to make sure that we're supporting that whole notion of anti-racism and just providing like the best opportunities that we can for our students. And so, like I said, being able to work with, you know, Mr. Harris and his team, like we just started to collaborate in that area. And so I think just by continuing that partnership to see what we can do to create some opportunities for, you know, staff who may be coming up through the ranks. So.
Sure. And we do have a caller that has a question for you, Jay in Madison. Good morning. Jay, are you still with us? I can't hear Jay. I think he must have dropped off. But Jay was asking about the role that communities play in recruiting and supporting teachers. What can communities do?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And I think what communities can do is really support their neighborhood schools, right? We have a lot of schools that are sitting within neighborhoods, and I think word of mouth is key. Right. So when we can talk about the great things that our schools are doing, that's going to generate some interest for folks to want to join our team. And I think that's key. We know that our schools are the hubs of the community. And so we need more people to talk about the great things that are happening in Milwaukee Public Schools. And we want to make sure that our story, the narrative, is that of supporting students, that of supporting staff, and providing opportunities for staff to grow. Some of the research that we know speaks to the fact that teachers want opportunities to be leaders within their schools. It's not that they might be looking for administration type positions, but they want to be seen as teacher leaders. They have mastered their craft. And I think those are opportunities that we want to provide in our schools. And our community plays a large part in that by getting that word out and talking about the great educators that are in our schools. We're pushing right now for our central region schools where we typically find gaps, right? We have gaps there that we are trying to find highly qualified staff to go into these schools to do the most important work ever, which is teaching our students. And in every corner of the city, we need highly qualified teachers there to do that work.
Sure. And we have another caller joining us from Milwaukee. Reggie, good morning. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Yeah, what's your question?
It was more of a comment. I just wanted to comment. You guys were talking maybe 5-10 minutes ago about kind of the barriers that exist. I'm sorry, I'm out of breath. I'm working right now.
You're good.
But you guys spoke of how these barriers exist, and I just wanted to speak of one particular situation I came across. I've been in the delivery industry now for 4 or 5 years, graduated college, degree in social work. I'm a veteran. I'm a person of color. I'm from MPS. Like, I'm a product of MPS school. And I, you know, at one point, about a year ago, I was really interested in becoming a teacher. I start calling around to these different licensure programs, expedited programs and stuff to see what I can do about it. I called Cardinal Stritch, and this lady spent 20 minutes on the phone, not encouraging me, not helping me in any way, form, or fashion, but spending the whole time like, I don't even know if it's possible for you to go from a delivery man. At the time, I was a mailman, from a mailman to a teacher. Like, is that even possible? And I told her, I have a college degree. If I can figure out a way to pay for it and pass your test, then why can't I? So, I mean, that just really speaks to the barriers that exist for people of color to get into this field. I am capable and able to do so and still met this invisible wall of, like, discouragement. And I honestly was just dumbfounded by that when it happened. I told her to have a nice day and please email me what you said you would. And I, you know, ended the call. But that just speaks to the barriers that exist.
Yeah, Reggie, I'm sorry that happened to you. Michael, sure. What can you say to Reggie? Is it too late?
No, it's not too late. And Reggie, I'm glad that you're on this call. So we need to connect. We know that a lot of the School of Ed programs in the state and actually nationally are not recruiting a lot of folks going in through traditional teacher preparation programs. a lot of folks are moving into the education field for second career purposes. And we think that's great because it brings a different perspective into the classroom. But also, we all want to know, we know that we want to build folks up. And so Cardinal Stritch currently is a huge partner with the Milwaukee Public Schools. So I know that we are moving in the right direction because we are working very closely to ensure that folks like yourself, Reggie, who are looking to become teachers, make sure that they find the right program for themselves, but also to ensure that they are getting the support that they need in order to become a teacher. So I would definitely say, Reggie, we need to connect. We have many opportunities here in Milwaukee Public Schools. Like you, I am also a product of Milwaukee Public Schools 53206. I understand those barriers and all of those things, and we're making some huge headway to ensure that folks like yourself have those opportunities, and we share those opportunities with you with supports.
Thanks. And Jeremiah, what do the students that you work with say that they need from educational staff and from mentors?
Yeah, I mean, students really are looking for, you know, like individuals that care, you know, like individuals that will hold them to high standards, but do it with compassion and love. And so what we attempt to try to do are support the staff that we work with, like directly through our manhood development courses. Currently, it's at 4 schools, like throughout the district right now. But what we do with those teachers is have weekly, you know, PD time with those teachers to help them with their practice and their instruction. But just making sure that we include, it's not just all about the academic side of it. Like, we do try to focus and have built into our programming, you know, some social, emotional support and strategies to support our students. And so, like, we really are about the whole child and just making sure that we're attending to, you know, like, all of their unique needs. And so, like, with the work that we do through the mentoring and through the course, so we have a Thursday, like, a first Thursday's mentor program where we're able to meet with students, you know, like, on the first Thursday of each month, and actually we're adding a third Thursday session as well. So we have some additional, you know, touch points to connect with students, you know, just about life, about what's going on, about their needs, but also trying to promote the academics as well. But we understand and recognize that you really have to teach to the whole person, and you just can't, you know, come in and robotically focus on just the lesson, but that social and that connection is critical to, you know, like, the success with the students.
Yeah, I like what you said there, that you're holding students to high standards, but you're doing so with compassion and love. We're speaking with Jeremiah Jackson, the director of the Black and Latino Male Achievement Program at Milwaukee Public Schools. We also have Michael Harris, the senior director of talent management for the Office of Human Resources at MPS. This is The Morning Show, and I'm Molly Stenz. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Molly Stenz. We're speaking with two educational leaders from Milwaukee this hour. We're talking about how we recruit and retain teachers of color and how it might change education for many of our kids. We're talking to Michael Harris, the Senior Director of Talent Management at Milwaukee Public Schools. And we've got Jeremiah Jackson Jr. here. He's the Director of the Black and Latino Male Achievement Program at MPS. Can you still remember the teacher who inspired you? We're at 1-800-642-1234, ideas@wpr.org. Michael, how common is it for students who attend MPS to come back and work for the district?
Oh, wow. I think it is very common. We were just actually hosting a job fair recruitment event on Saturday. And here, as a former principal at Riverside University High School, one of my former students, right, was online and looking for opportunities to become a teacher. English major at UWM, but however, wanting to come back and really work with students because that's what she's been doing. And so, but not in that capacity. So I think it's very common. And we definitely, I think that's part of the grow your own. I think we need to reach down a little bit further in our pathways of schools, right? And really identify those students that may have an interest in that, in the field of education, who want to become a teacher, and then support them throughout that journey. And I'm thinking even in middle school, start having conversations, because teachers can identify those students that have some of the skill that it takes to be an educator. And so really kind of having those conversations with those parents, with those students as they progress through high school and thinking about college, how can we as an organization support them and help them achieve that goal by becoming an educator along that pathway? So I think it's very common, and we're excited about it because they know what either opportunities and barriers they had to overcome. And wow, wouldn't that be just awesome to help those students navigate through that because they kind of had similar experiences.
So why currently does the MPS teaching staff not reflect the population of Milwaukee?
Yes, great question. I think a lot of it has to do with some challenges with within the Black community, right? I think in a lot of cases, we carry a huge burden with family members. We typically are caring for others within the home. And so I don't think that we have a lot of systems in place to support educators in the workforce. And I think it's not enough to just recruit teachers of color because we really have to make sure that we're retaining them and we're pulling them and we're inviting them to the table to really have engaging conversations about what needs to happen to help our students move forward academically and socially, emotionally. So I think there's a lot of factors. I know the Education Trust Teacher Plus back in September of 2019 talked about some challenges for Black educators trying to access or be in that space in the classroom or in a school building. And Molly, what it really boils down to is the culture, right, of the school, like really valuing those folks that are in there doing the work, doing the extra work outside of school, and making sure we're compensating them for that. But I think it's really about making sure that, you know, a lot of psychological pieces are placed on teachers of color. I think when they're in those situations, as far as, you know, they're the best to work with this group of students. And I think we really need to rethink that because our teachers bring such a vast spectrum of information and knowledge about how we can do this work better. We need those teachers at the table to help us figure that out and get a plan in place to really support those students.
Sure. And Jeremiah, I'm wondering, because you work with students and a lot of male students, and I'm wondering what you hear from them. If you float the idea of becoming a teacher, what are you hearing from your students?
Well, you know, one of the things that we're in the process of doing are really trying to build out, like Mr. Harris talked about, those pathways, and what we want to provide for the students that we work with are some opportunities for career exploration and experiences as well. So they get an opportunity to really, you know, in middle school, starting to figure out, like, what are some opportunities for me, right? And so really trying to support them while creating some opportunities and just trying to support them along the way so that they can have, you know, like a tangible plan once they reach graduation. We really want to make sure that we, you know, try to expose students to the teaching profession. Like, we understand that, you know, we have these different opportunities and pathways that are sort of out there, right? But we really want to, through our programming, try to connect students, you know, to mentors in those specific fields. If a student has interest in becoming a teacher, a chef, like an electrician, like, we really want to make those hard connections so that the students actually can see themselves and see their possible selves, like, in those spaces. You know, for me, like, I just think that we have to find ways of exposing and supporting our students in different, you know, pathways and different career like opportunities moving forward.
Yeah. And we have Mary joining us from Pewaukee on the phones, and I understand you have a question about student loans. Good morning.
Yes. Hi. Good morning. Thank you for the opportunity. Wonderful show. And I believe in reparations, but at least, at the very least, what we could do is forgive people of diversity because of the, you know, the white man putting their knee on the neck of the black and the brown. At least forgive student loans, and any person of diversity would be able to go to school for free to be able to make their dreams come true. So many white people of privilege.
Student loan programs. Michael, what kind of loan assistance is out there for teachers?
Yeah, so specifically in Milwaukee Public Schools, we do set aside, we budget every year for tuition assistance. So any of our parapros that we have, paraprofessionals that are seeking to go back to school, they are eligible to apply for those funds to get that support. We need to do more. Let's just be clear about that. We need to do more around that. I think part of the issue with recruiting teachers of color is that the loan repayment incentives, the scholarships of providing them additional support to get through that that additional course, because again, they are going back to school to obtain teacher certification. So there's an additional cost to all of that. And so I think definitely we need to do more, but definitely in Milwaukee Public Schools, we are being proactive by setting aside dollars to support paraprofessionals and or teachers that are going into more hard to fill type of positions, math, science, STEM fields. Those are areas that are very high need. And so those teachers that are looking to add on and do additional education, we want to make sure that we support them.
So if the governor came to you and said, what do you need? Or if you were the governor and you had the ability to make many things happen in the state, what's the first thing you'd do with more, with that opportunity, with the resources? If those weren't an issue, what would you do?
Absolutely. I think the first thing I would do is really have a look and see at the data around the type of assessments that we expect educators to complete. I know in my own experience, I know of many others, that those become barriers. And I would really want to look and see, does the assessment that one needs to take dictate or determine how successful they will be in the classroom? I think that's key. Because we have a lot of good folks out there. Reggie was on the call talking about how he wanted to become an educator. And not that it was regarding an assessment, but just making sure that if folks want to do this work, that they have opportunities to engage. And I think one of the barriers that we have is some of the loopholes that folks have to take in order to obtain teacher certification.
Well, we are up against the end of our hour, but thank you so much for this conversation.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Michael Harris is Milwaukee Public Schools Senior Director of Talent Management for our Office of Human Resources. Jeremiah Jackson Jr. is the Director of the Black and Latino Male Achievement Program at Milwaukee Public Schools. I'm Molly Stentz. It's The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.